Guitarist John Jorgensen has played music with a host of stars, from Johnny Cash to Elton John, and his current band lets him play the music that he loves the most, acoustic swing in the style of Django Reinhardt. I'll talk with John Jorgensen about why that is, and about his quintet's upcoming concert at the Arizona Sonora Desert Museum.
Whenever I hear Django's music, it makes me feel good. You know, it's just so joyful and so much emotion and fun in it that it just makes me feel great.
What are some of the components of a gypsy-style jazz that we should let people know about?
Sometimes both of those words scare people off. You know, jazz, I know, does scare people off because they think it's going to be kind of cerebral. It might not be accessible, but gypsy jazz is very accessible and melodic. It's emotional. It's high energy. And you don't have to be a jazz fan, for sure, to like the music. The acoustic instruments, the guitar and the violin, especially, you know, being the lead voices, it's just a really pleasing sound. You know, it doesn't assault your ears, but it's got a lot of energy and emotion to it, as I say.
How do you first recall becoming aware of Django Reinhardt?
I've played guitar most of my life, and, you know, as kind of a student as well, I would read magazines and interviews, and Django Reinhardt's name started popping up in really disparate, I would think, you know, interviews, like somebody like Clarence White, for example, you know, talking about his flat-picking bluegrass guitar would mention Django Reinhardt, and then somebody like Jeff Beck would mention Django Reinhardt, and Chet Atkins would mention Django Reinhardt, and he was kind of influenced all of the iconic guitarists that we know of now. So pretty soon I said, I need to check this guy out. It just blew me away. Even if he wasn't playing with only two fingers, it was just unbelievable guitar playing, and the sound and the emotion and the spirit and the technique, it's all there. So immediately I started trying to learn how to play it. You know, that's basically what I'm like. If I like something enough, I want to be able to do it. So that was back in 1979. For many, many years, you know, I had a career in music that didn't really have anything to do with this style of music, because I didn't see that there was really a venue or a circuit that I could perform. And that kind of changed around 2000. And people, I think because of the internet, and people started connecting with each other and realizing that there was a lot more people out there that, like you and me, that really love this music. And so they started having festivals here in the United States. And pretty much since 2003 now, this is what I've done full time, is touring and playing this style of music, which, you know, 20 years ago, I never went for it because it wasn't possible at that time.
And how is it for you as a guitar player, though, to try to use Django's fretting style? And describe how amazing it is that he did what he did.
Yeah, I mean, most players use four fingers on the fretboard, plus the thumb sometimes. And so there's a lot of scale patterns that you do like that. But as I said, Django only really had the full use of his first two fingers. So he created a whole style. And what it ended up doing is made him travel up and down the fingerboard a lot more than most players. And a guitar, you can play the same note down at the bottom of the neck and at the top of the neck, and they're going to have a different feeling, different attitude, different tone. So that ended up making his music very much more colorful because he was using the full range of the guitar. You know, he created a lot of techniques, partially because he was trying to sound like Louis Armstrong on a trumpet. You know, they're such different beasts, the guitar and a trumpet, that it kind of pushed him to try to create some new techniques to sound like a trumpet.
Isn't that beautiful how influences work that way across instruments and across styles and across decades? Tell us about
across cultures and across continents. And,
yeah.
You know, Django was a Belgian-born French living gypsy, you know, a Manouche gypsy. And, Louis Armstrong was a African-American from New Orleans. So very little in common except music.
Talking about influences crossing over like that, tell us about somebody who was really influential on you when you were starting out who wasn't a guitarist.
Yeah, I used to watch Stan Kenton's band when I was a kid because my father worked with him. And so I got to see a lot of his concerts. So I would watch him on the piano. And, you know, that was definitely influential. I would hear a lot of other music, you know, on a regular basis. So I'm sure all of that kind of influenced my guitar playing, too.
And that guitar playing took you into the bands and on stage with some of the most amazing artists of the, what? How would we say it? I mean, some of the great artists of the 20th century.
It amazes me still to this day, you know, that I've gotten to play with, you know, pioneers of rock and roll like Little Richard and Johnny Cash and country icons like Willie Nelson and Merle Haggard. You know, people from my growing up era in the 60s, you know, I got to play with the Byrds and with Bob Dylan and with Michael Nesmith from the Monkees.
Well, what have you learned and taken from some of these guys in your own role as band leader?
Well, I think probably the most important thing is to really do whatever you can do to make all of the band members feel good about their contributions, especially when they're on stage. You know, it doesn't take much to let a musician know that you appreciate what they're doing in the moment, and that transfers to the audience. And because if, say, on the other side, if you've got somebody on stage that's not happy, they don't want to be there, and they don't feel appreciated, it's really going to drag down the energy of the whole show, even if they don't do anything, you know, obvious about it. So I think it's most important to keep everybody's vibe up and really keep focused on the music and remember that we're there to try to create magic for the audience every night.
John Jorgensen and his acoustic jazz quintet will perform at the Arizona Sonora Desert Museum on April 12th and April 13th. The Desert Museum is an underwriter of Arizona Public Media.